Welcome to another installment of the Nimrod Horror Podcast, where we sit, and talk horror shit. Once again, Joey's nowhere to be found. God damn it, Joey. But I got that backup, as always. That boy Vincent's in the house. What's up, Vincent?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, everybody.
Oh, thanks, by the way, for filling in on these good clown shoes.
Yeah, no problem. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah. So today we are going to be doing the what year did this movie come out?
82.
No, are you sure? Yeah. 82. Okay. Oh, damn, was it the year after? Well. Believe it or not, folks, we're actually doing our Halloween special on Halloween. And since we've done nothing but threes, we are talking about Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
That's the one.
Yeah, which is weird because it's not really a slasher film. Slasher franchise, not a slasher film. But before we dive into all that, Mr. Vincent,
what it's is more your... of a pincher film.
Oh, what?
A pincher film.
What the hell is a pincher film?
Anyway, yeah, I got the St. Arnold Amber right here. That's what I'm drinking. I know that's what you're going to ask. I'm drinking the St. Arnold Amber.
That's a pretty light beer there, guy.
In this light, it is.
You look better like that, by the way.
They don't all have to be ports and stouts, you know. I drink a variety of stuff. I don't just drink IPAs. What are you drinking, Leo?
Oh, I'm actually drinking a Kentucky Pumpkin Barrel Ale.
Hey, my house is on fire. I gotta go.
Oh, what, you hate on ale beer now? I don't drink IPA. Well, it's tis the season, man. Tis the season.
Okay, well. And you can go get your pumpkin spice latte. I'm gonna go put out this fire.
Yeah, I hate pumpkin spice lattes, to be honest.
Hell, whatever.
I do. It's like me and my wife will stand next to each other. She gets the latte, I get the beer. Nah, but this one actually has, what the hell? I got it for some reason. It has 10% alcohol. That's the reason I got it. I was like, because I'm going to be drinking beer, I might as well go for the high stuff. Why not?
Sure.
Oh. Actually, not that bad. It really isn't.
It really isn't what?
Like, I was expecting more of a bitter taste at the end or something. Or, like, I don't know how to explain it, like, when the ale flavors, because I've had, like, the, have you ever had the real pale ales? What's it called? Like, the Fireman 4.
It's been a while since I had one of the Fireman beers.
Yeah, but, like, you see the ales to me always have, like, this kind of aftertaste at the end of it. Like the wheat aftertaste, like too much. This one doesn't have it. But like, I taste the pumpkin in the beginning, but it goes away real fast.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I think you might actually like this one.
No, I don't. I wouldn't.
Why? Just pumpkin?
Pumpkin.
Do you even like pumpkin pie?
I don't like pumpkin pie at all.
What about?
Nope.
Carrot cake.
Carrot cake is too damn dry.
What about a cherry cream cheese Danish?
A cherry Danish.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. It's not pumpkin. You can eat all the damn pumpkin empanadas you want.
Oh, hell, dude.
Okay, man. Okay.
I'd rather sit there and listen to the damn theme song of this movie for the whole damn day instead of eating a pumpkin. Anything.
Everyone's well, you know, technically, right now, as of this date, it's only 8 more days till Halloween. Halloween.
Even though this is premiering on Halloween night?
Yeah, I know. I said that time of recording.
Blah, 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 blah.
But right now, if it's 9 o'clock, you need to get to your TV.
I never win anything, so I don't have to look at nothing, right?
No, you just have to watch the drawing. 9 o'clock.
Do that. All right. Yeah, Season of the Witch. First movie to not have Michael Myers. Pissed a shit ton of people.
Yep.
All right. So, was this your first time watching the film?
It's the first time I remember watching it.
All right. So you didn't. Do you remember if you had that? Hey, where the fuck's Michael thing? Or anything like that?
No. I mean, I looked up a little bit of it beforehand. So, I mean, I wasn't like going in blind. I had to do a little bit of research.
No, yeah. When I remember the first time I watched this movie as a kid, they told me, oh, this is Halloween. I'm like, so Michael. And then they're like, what do you mean, Michael? The guy with the white face. But this is a Halloween movie. I'm like, it's not a Halloween movie. Like, I was a kid, though. I knew any better. I wasn't looking at, like, facts or anything. But did you know that this film was actually, Joe Dante was actually the first director of this film.
Really?
Yeah, and he left to do that one movie. The one where the kids died in Vietnam. The Twilight movie.
Twilight Zone movie,
yeah. Yeah, Twilight Zone movie. The Twilight movie. Yeah, that one. But no, yeah. Spielberg came up to him and asked him, you know, about that, about doing that. And apparently that's the movie he left this one for. Dude, I wonder if he probably would have gone in this same direction Tommy Lee Wallace did, which is the director of this film. He did work on the first Halloween movie. He was a film editor on it. And he was actually... You watched the 1978 one, correct?
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, in that movie, like, so many people played Michael in that movie. Like, they even say that even John Carpenter himself got in one of the, like, in one of the scenes or whatever. But the scene where Michael's attacking Laurie in the closet.
Yeah.
That's actually Tommy Lee Wallace.
Okay.
So, yeah. I thought that was pretty interesting.
It's cool.
So, what you got, man? You got any little fun facts about this film?
I didn't really look up much more beyond the plot. I didn't know that one of the reasons that they agreed to even do the film was because they let Carpenter not have Michael Myers in it. He didn't want to get stuck in a rut.
Well, I mean, when you watch Halloween 2, Michael looks deader than dead in that film. He got both of his eyes shot out. And that's pretty much taking two bullets to the head.
Well.
And then he got exploded. To which he walks out in a ball of flame. Worse than Frankenstein on that Abbott and Costello Meets the Wolfman, which is an episode of the Nimrod Generation podcast as a Halloween special. Go check that out, guys.
Yeah, but they did say that Carpenter didn't plan on having Michael Myers in every movie, only the first one. He just wanted a different Halloween-related story every time.
Yeah.
But after this one... yeah, after this one, he sold the rights to it, and then people just, or, you know, they brought back Myers and Loomis.
Oh, he stole the rights.
Yeah.
Why? Why would he? Oh, Lord. But we do get some cameos that are really not that, not seen as much in this film. Jamie Lee Curtis is actually in this film, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, it's a cameo, and it's an Easter egg, if you want to say. You know, there's a scene in the movie where there's someone speaking over the PAs in the town.
Yeah, there's a couple scenes.
Yeah, that's Jamie Lee Curtis.
Okay.
Yeah, and she's also the whatchamacallit, the operator on the phone, and the guy's going to make the calls. That's her.
Cool. I did recognize Annie Brackett, the lady who played Annie Brackett, Nancy Kies, in this one.
Mm-hmm.
She was the ex-wife.
The ex-wife.
Dr. Chalice or whatever, his ex-wife,
mm-hmm.
the mother of their children. Yeah, that was Annie Brackett, the first one that got killed, the first babysitter.
See? I don't. The one that played, because there was one that was played Linda. I know there's a character in this movie named Linda.
The brown-haired girl that died first, that got the sauce on her clothes.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one who played the ex-wife with the blonde hair. Bought the kids the masks. And when he, you know, later on in the film, things happen, and she's like, get out of town. You're drunk.
Like a woman. Oh, man. Well, let's be honest. Did you realize that this movie is in the same fictional town of Santa Mira, which is the same town from Invasion of the Body Snatchers from 1956?
Did not know that.
Yeah, I was doing, I remember I was like looking up, because I was going to actually watch it, and then I'm just sitting there, I'm like, yo, is that, like, the name seemed familiar, so when I looked at the movie again, I was like, oh shit, that's what it was from. So I won't lie, this is the one Halloween movie that I've just watched the least amount of times. This is probably like my second or third watch on it. And like I said, I haven't watched this movie since I was in fourth grade. That's like 1996.
Yeah.
So, oh man, it was kind of a tough watch to watch. I'm not gonna sit here and lie about it. It's not the fact that Michael's not in it. I just believe the story was just not there, which is they steal one of the stones from Stone Age. Is that what it is, right?
Yeah. One of the columns from Stonehenge, they steal it.
So they do that, and they create these masks to go off when the final commercial is supposed to play.
Yeah, there's a computer chip that's supposed to activate the magic in the stone. They've been chipping away the stone and putting it in there. And so when the commercial goes off and does a special little deal, flashing lights and stuff, then it'll activate the computer chip and the master plan will be enacted.
It's not master plan. That was, man, you know what the funniest thing about this? You know what's the longest thing to shoot in this entire film?
What?
Okay. Let's just say it's a scene with a mask and a camera.
That was the longest scene to shoot?
Yeah, that's the hardest one. It took 40 takes.
What hell?
Exactly. I would have thought they would have probably done it backwards. Just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that was seemed like it'd be the easiest thing.
No, it's not. We can bring up that scene in a bit, but
yeah.
So the movie starts off with some dude, like, he's insane. And you know what? This movie does kind of remind me of Invader of the Body Snatchers. You got the whole concept of a dude coming out of nowhere saying we're going to get killed by these people or these things. Everyone thinks he's crazy. No one believes him. It's like a giant conspiracy. This is how this movie starts. This dude's being hunted down by, we don't know who or what these dudes are, but apparently find out they're henchmen. A weird fact, funny fact, I guess. Well, I find it funny because it reminded me of South Park, to be honest. They wanted all the henchmen to be redheads.
Really?
Yeah. They wanted all of them to be gingers. And the first thing that popped in my head was gingers have no soul.
Yeah. True facts.
Oh, that's the actual fact right there? Gingers have no souls?
Yeah. I didn't really fully realize they were robots until I read later on about the movie, and I was like, in my notes, I talked about that first bit, and I wrote down he killed the robot man with his slow ass moving car.
Dude, I swear. Okay, at work, something like that actually happened to me once, where I was on the picker, and like I was trying to put something on our pee aisle. And you know how like they have the bar to like right here when you're like when you're kind of up. So when I was trying to put the pallet in, it was one of them smaller ones. So the forks went in deeper, and I passed like that with the cage of the picker squishing me with the actual like racket or whatever. But it didn't push hard. Like it kind of like it squished me, bounced off a little bit, and then like went. It went forward. And I just remember, like, fuck, that shit hurt. But, you know, seeing that scene, having that slow-ass car just do that, I'm like, I think he could have survived it. Unless that robot was built pretty weak.
Yeah.
But the thing is...
They can't be built too weak because they can take a few punches.
Shit, they can't take a car explosion, I'll tell you that. They ain't no Terminators.
Yeah, well. All it takes is a few punches to the gut, too.
Yep, and orange juice to fuel them.
Yeah, orange juice.
No, the liquid that was used for their quote-unquote blood, it was orange juice. That was the effect. They used actual orange juice.
Look more like Tang.
Who knows? It was probably that cheap. Yeah, you're probably like that cheap. It was Sunny D. Probably Sunny D.
Sunny D. Okay. Yeah, they were in California, right?
Yeah. So we have this guy going crazy. He's being attacked. He got taken to the hospital. And then another one of the creepy... When we find out it's a robot guy, but at the moment we don't know it's a robot guy. He comes out and kills the poor guy in a pretty fucked up, brutal way. Just thumbs to the eyes. See, I've never been a fan of that kill. Like, I was like, it's not that it's not effective, because I think that shit would hurt.
Yeah.
But it's never been my go-to kill move in horrors, you know, like, I just think that's like the cheap way of just getting out of a cool kill.
Yeah.
So when they do it in this movie, I was all like, I'm thinking, oh shit, we're about to get a gore fest in this film. Like, you know what I mean? It felt already a little more gorier than the other Halloween movies. The first one had no blood whatsoever. And the second one kind of the gore a little bit, but
yeah,
it's still a product of its time. So this one is like going Jason Voorhees style of gore. So I'm like, all right, got to the good stuff. Now, did you know that the original writer, what was his name? Yes. Something Neil. He sued he sued the movie pretty much, or the company or whatever, for the fact that he wanted his name off the credit and everything because he said the movie was too violent. Bro, you're writing a script for Halloween.
Yeah.
Would that even process in your mind? Though Tommy Lee Wallace did admit that 60% of his script became what the movie is, because as always, your producer and your director, apparently with all the Halloween movies, they always put their input. And of course, the producer for this film was John Carpenter himself.
Yeah.
So he put his two cents in the storyline, but they say that the final draft had 60% of Neil's work on there. So it should have been, you know, I don't know. I mean, Carpenter was the one doing all the violent stuff, so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
Yeah. But that's what I said about the Pincher movie, because he's like, pinches the guy's skull and brain and just like pulls it apart.
Yeah. So then we get this whole concept of, I don't know if it's a Carpenter thing or what's up. This was Carpenter's second producing film. It is the second time. What was the actor's name? Tom Atkins has been seduced by a younger woman.
Yeah.
You don't know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember the other movie.
In The Fog, Tom Atkins plays the guy who picks up the hitchhiker, which was played by Jamie Lee Curtis. Mm. And then she like sweet talks him, and then they end up like sleeping together. And in this film, same concept pretty much. Oh boy, doctor, what's his name in this film?
Chalice.
That guy. He's like, thinks something's up, something's weird. I mean, the guy that just murdered somebody too just went into a car and dosed himself in gasoline.
Doused himself?
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doused himself in gasoline. I mean, you just corrected me, aren't you? You just trying to be that guy.
It must be the mustache. That must have been what, you know. Did he have a mustache in The Fog?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
Are we back to the sex scene?
Maybe if you could grow a mustache, you could do that too.
Ooh. You're trying to go there, huh? You trying to go there? I got it. Wait till you're sleeping.
Cool. You ain't driving out here.
I know where you live.
Yeah, but you're not driving out here.
Not tonight?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I got another night.
Me.
I'm going to go trick-or-treating.
Okay, yeah, I'll definitely open my door for you.
Thank you. I'll be with the six pack. The good stuff.
Yeah.
Mm. Going back to the movie. So, yeah, he's something's up, something's weird. The crazy man's daughter is with him. So she's like, let's go investigate. So they go investigate. And then they get a hotel together because they're playing off a married couple, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah.
Now, this is the part that tripped me out. It's like, they don't know each other. I don't know what's up. I never saw any sexual tension between them. But the scene just went straight, just 180 with them. I felt like George Lucas probably wrote this scene because George Lucas cannot write a love scene to save his life, as we all saw in the Star Wars series. Come on. Did you really find those to be very romantic scenes on the second episode too?
It's the height of romance.
The what?
It's the height of romance. He's fixing to go down for the count. Nobody knows if he's going to survive, and Leia's all, "I love you," and he's like, "I know." Come on.
I said episode two, my nigga.
You said romance scene. That was the second episode of the original trilogy.
Oh my god.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Episode two. Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, that was great. Who doesn't fall in love like riding big ass mammals and having a picnic in the fields? Come on, dude. Where you been living?
What's a good line? What's a good line from that movie? What's a good romantic line from that movie?
I killed them all. Not just the men, but the women. And the children too.
Oh man. Dude, we should go with this. That's why people underestimate the romance in episode two.
Yeah.
You have to have the right set of mind to actually get the actual romance.
It's absolutely
But dude, to me the whole scene was kind of just stupid though. It was like, how'd it go? It's all like, it's getting late. I'm gonna go get a drink. And then she's all like, "Oh, you don't have to." She's like, "Well, I'm gonna sleep in the car."
What they were doing. She was like, "Look, if you want, I'll sleep in the car. I'll go find a park bench. I'll go do, you know, I'll rent another room, even though we just got this one room as husband and wife."
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, "Nah, I don't mind. It's just bone all night."
Yeah. It's like, what does this say? It's like, "Oh, well, where do you want me to sleep? You tell me."
Yeah, but you never know how desperate she was.
Yeah, her daddy just died.
Oh, she was also from San Francisco. No, she was from L.A. The other lady was from San Francisco. I don't remember where the family was from.
Buffalo?
That's a long ass drive.
They had a Winnebago.
Fuck that. I mean, if it is 1982 and I'm the biggest salesman in the country, I ain't driving from Buffalo, New York to Santa Mira, California.
I mean. You're right. It's the 1980s. It's a different time. I've seen plenty of movies. They've done some stupid stuff like that. Nowadays, what we say?
Yeah, I don't know.
Gotta take a plane.
Can teleconference. Zoom me the meeting.
Yeah, but he was on his way to meet his hero.
Did you notice that the gas was $1.32?
Oh. Must have been nice.
Yeah, but that's still California prices. That's California prices.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of expensive still, because wasn't gas here in Texas like about a dollar something not so long ago?
Well, back then it was less than a dollar, I would guarantee it.
Mm-hmm. And I remember when Whopper was a dollar.
Still only worth a dollar.
That's still a damn good worth dollar, though.
Is it?
I like Whopper. I mean, okay. My fault. That's Whopper you had was an impossible Whopper.
I would say impossible to digest, but it passed, so, you know.
No, I remember the last time, was it? You were at work, and I think it was you and our supervisor went out.
And you're like, yeah, we went out. And we're like, fuck it, let's try the Impossible Whoppers right here. It's on the way back. We're like, okay, do it. Fine.
And you guys, non press.
It was like, okay.
Oh, well. Man.
But I've had plenty of really good black bean burgers, so Impossible, whatever. I don't care.
Well, see, this is where I think the movie. It's not the two odd sex scenes. It's the fact that it takes forever to get to any horror. You don't really feel like atmospheric.
Yeah.
At any point, there's like, I think they dropped the chip, right? And one of the women found it. She got her mouth blown off by it.
Yeah, it was her kid. Banged it against the wall and the chip fell out. And for whatever reason, even though she held it up to show what's her name? And Chalice, the chip. Even though she showed them the chip from the front so she could see the back, she didn't notice that the back had a chip in it until she got to the hotel room and dropped it.
Oh, nah, but
with and then, like, you know, any normal, rational thinking person, they're like, you know what? Let me fuck with this microchip. Let me try to take it apart. That sounds like a good idea.
And then get that fly. That fly in your hand?
No. Is that what you're talking about?
No, on the other hand.
That?
Oh, yeah. Real classy. Real classy, the guy.
Yeah, everything's cool.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the one issue with this film. It takes forever to get to that. They have all these henchmen who remind me of the tall guy from Phantasm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it does. It's like they just don't seem. I mean, I get it, they're robots and all, but it almost seems, kind of like Invasion of Body. This feels more like an Invasion of Body Snatchers remake more than anything. Shouldn't be, though.
Yeah.
But we haven't even got to the scheme of everything.
Yeah. Well, we don't find that out till later anyway.
Even then. Shit, damn, this movie was slow. I'm not lying. I watched this movie and I swear to God, I thought I was watching it for like 3 hours. That's what it felt like to me. I know I paused it every here and there.
I didn't even get to bring up my point of contention I had with the movie early on.
Go ahead, man. Tell us about these parking spaces.
Yeah, that's exactly it. The dude kills the guy in the hospital, runs outside, gets in his car, douses himself with gasoline, blows up, everything's cool and all, and then you see it the next day, and I didn't really notice it at night, but in the daytime, it's glaringly obvious how the parking spots are lined up like normal parking spots, but not only the killer, but two other people parked across parking spots. It had to be done for the, whole camera view, but why don't you just move the fucking camera?
Good point.
I mean, you don't have to watch the front of the car when it blows up. It could blow up from the side.
What they call Hollywood magic.
Yeah. Put two cameras on the damn car instead of just one.
I don't know. To me, when I saw that dude douse himself with gasoline, I swear to God, I thought of an emo music video. Like
you would.
Something along the lines of like Ohio's for Lovers by Hawthorne Heights. What? You don't like emo?
Poor you.
I mean, the guy could be dousing himself in gasoline and listening to Joy Division. Love, love will tear us apart.
Or he could do like he did, just douse himself and hurry up and hit the damn cigarette lighter so he can blow the hell up.
Cut my life into pieces.
Yeah. Crawling in my skin. He tried so hard and he got so far. But in the end, he burned like a bitch.
Oh, man.
Anyway, get back to this thing with, you know, she messes with the fucking microchip. It blows up in her face, zaps her, and it kind of destroys her face. And then the white van with all the other robots come in, take her body away. And then that's when Mr. Cochran finally shows up.
How long is it before we see this dude? Like 40 minutes into the damn movie, huh?
Yeah, until right there. Connell Cochran, played by Dan O'Hurley.
Mike, did you write that down?
Well, I got it up right now, but I did write it down. See?
I see. You don't got to throw it all in my face, yo. Yeah, but apparently he's in charge of the Silver Shamrock Company, which apparently made toys in the past. And he's like a prankster. Like, he has like all those gag toys that you would find like at Spencer's, you know, like the shocky thingy when you shake someone's hand and
the hand buzzer.
Yeah, that thing. One that Joker killed a lot of people with.
The fake, you know, vomit. The
sticky toilet paper. Apparently he invented the sticky toilet paper.
Yeah.
So
why wouldn't the sticky toilet paper stick to itself?
I don't know what you're telling me.
I don't know. He invented it, not me.
I don't even know what it is, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's something they just made up. I've never heard of sticky toilet paper. Because like I said, it would stick to itself.
I gotta look it up. Sticky toilet paper.
You don't necessarily have to.
I mean, I could.
And world, we could just go on.
So,
the thing blows up.
He's gonna talk shit about it. Man, so they go through this whole thing like a tour of their warehouse. Now let me ask you this, Vincent. The three masks they picked for this movie. For one,
yep.
I do like all three masks. I thought they're actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was cool vintage style. They were actually on sale when the movie came out. Like, it was like the marketing ploy to actually advertise the film.
Yeah.
So they heavily did that. Guess it was still not enough because the movie flopped horribly. The Michael. Now, here's the funny thing.
Yep.
They used the same molds from the original mask to make all the duplicate masks. Now, wouldn't it have been great if they would have actually done that with the original Michael Myers mask so he wouldn't have all these ugly fucked up masks he had in the other movies?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they could have contacted the company that made it.
Oh, apparently it burned down. After the first movie, there was a fire, and where the mold was actually at, it burned down. So the only existing masks were the one that the original actor had. So this is like some of the stories they had about it. So he would always put it in his pocket, like fold it up, like, so it messed up the white parts of the mask. Like, and then the other one is Deborah Hill, the other producer of this film, or mainly all the Halloween films. She had it in her house under her bed, but she smoked a lot. So the mask turned yellow, apparently. So they couldn't use that either. So we have the whole one was damaged by the actor, the molds were burned, and the other one was a Tabasco filled mask. Tabasco. I think I'm hungry. I've been hungry all day.
Oh, they fed you tacos, man.
I didn't eat them tacos. My stomach. Mm-mm. I was like, nah, honey, boo boo. Then I went to go boo boo. But yeah, dude, it's one of those. I don't know. This movie, it's low paced. After this, like, we still don't get into death for how long? Like, the chick finds out her dad's car was in a garage that they had right there.
Yeah. Man, it does take a while to get another death because you don't even see what happens to her till the end of the film. And the family is there as the bad guy's explaining everything to Chalice.
Yeah, I don't know, man. They do the whole, what's it? Here, this is what we're planning on doing. It's almost like the villain reveal in the James Bond film.
Yeah, it's the 007 part of the movie where he tells Chalice all of his evil plans. Look, this is what we're doing. I'm going to do this, do that, and it's going to be great. And everybody's going to die.
So, let's talk about this then. Because this was actually pretty cool. A lot of people are, we can kill all the adults we want in all these movies, but children are a no-no. Dogs are a hell no.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, mostly horror movies always steer away from killing children. That's like one of those 10 rules of horror that you don't do. Mm-hmm. I don't see why, but well, whatever.
Rules are made to be broken.
Exactly. This one broke them all. Because, so, does this thing teleport things to the back of your head as a laser shoots you upside the head, or what?
Yeah, there's some kind of lasers, and the lasers are the druidic magic from Stonehenge. And it kind of, like, zaps you and takes, I don't know, part of your body, I guess. It's just, like, it kills you as it produces insects from your corpse.
Yeah.
And snakes and fun stuff.
The first chick she only had, like, was spider come out of her.
It was a misfire.
I guess, but this kid, like, see, every time I always saw the scene where, like, the kid's holding his head and, like, trying to, you know, like, I always thought that the mask was suffocating him or something.
Now the laser's going off, probably ricocheting off the inside of his skull and producing all the insects, because as soon as he fell down, like, 50,000 crickets popped out of his head.
I would say that's an exaggerated number, but you're probably right.
Nah, it's probably more like 200-300 crickets. There's a lot of fucking crickets.
There's a lot of fucking crickets, and about like 10 snakes came out there too. One of them was a fucking rattlesnake.
A rattlesnake, yeah. That one bit the dad. The mom just died of a weak constitution or some shit.
Who knows? But after seeing that, all right, so it's 1982. People watch this in theaters. Do you think anyone lost their shit?
Probably. I know people nowadays that would lose their shit just because they are scared of insects.
Really? That's what we're going to go with, the insect part.
I mean, there are people.
You're not one of them, right? You ain't no scared of no roach.
I ain't scared of no nothing shit.
You ain't scared of nothing. What if the world ran out of beer?
Then I'd switch to alcohol. I mean, what are you trying to imply?
What if every gaming system in the world was shut down?
I have my PC. I don't need a console.
What if the world ran out of internet?
Oh, you do realize I lived like a good portion of my life before there was a fucking internet.
Dungeons and Dragons.
I don't play it every day.
Do you know how to play it though?
Like, yeah. Yeah, I have both characters and all this other stuff. Right.
We're gonna have to do this one day. We'll go to your house on a Saturday.
Alright. I can start you off on HeroQuest. It's Dungeons and Dragons Lite. It's a board game.
Okay. Hey. So what do we got next? We got old boy got caught, put a mask over his head, wait till the commercial comes on. And he makes his grand escape by, how did he cut, wait, what did he do first to cut that thing first? Because he had tape on him, right?
Yeah. Well, no, he was waiting for the broadcast. And it was going to be a while before the broadcast. So what happened, he's all taped up and, you know, strapped to this chair. And then when the commercial comes on, he hates the commercial so much, he goes and he kicks the TV.
Oh, I would.
And then he did a like sitting drop kick on the TV and broke it very easily, I might add, with a stick, a glass shard that he pulled out of there. And he grabbed one of the glass shards to cut the ropes or the straps that were holding him.
Yeah,
and after he did all that, that's when he's like, oh, let me put this mask over the camera so they can't see what I'm doing.
Hey, throws it.
Yeah, just one shot.
So the story behind that whole concept of him throwing the mask onto the camera was that the director did it on accident the first time. Like, he was just like messing around or whatever. So he's like, I guess he was frustrated or something, but he just threw the mask. And it landed right on the camera. So he went ahead and said, we're going to use this on the film. He said, I knew it's a fluke. I knew this was a one and I don't know how many chance, but he did it. So after that, when trying to put it into the movie, it's 40 shots to try to accomplish this one thing, which I don't know about you, but with, like we say, Hollywood magic, there have been things where they've done shit in reverse.
Yeah, that's all they had to do. Throw the mask, cut the camera, put the camera or put the mask on the camera, roll film, and have a fucking fishing line pull the mask off of the camera.
At an angle, you shoot, just can't pull it like this.
Yeah, you gotta pull it at an angle with pulleys and shit, and then show that in reverse, and that's him throwing it up and putting it on.
I mean, even then, it looked kind of fake. Tossed it up there.
Yeah. So it looked kind of fake when he actually made it, so why not just fucking go all the way?
Ah, whatever. So,
I was going to say, I don't think we mentioned that it was all part of the big bad guy. Yeah, you're saying don't kill kids, don't kill dogs and everything, but he's planned to kill every single kid that had their Halloween mask in the Festival of Samhain.
Yes. Not Samhain.
Sacrifice. Yeah, not Samhain.
Yeah, not Samhain. Samhain. A lot of people say Samhain.
Well, that's the band.
It's we will blame Dr. Loomis for this on Halloween 2. Because he first thing he says was Samhain.
Yep.
Oh no, was it? Every time the joke comes up, it's like, how many times did he shoot Michael? I shot him six times. I shot him six times. He screams that for like the whole beginning of the movie. All right. Yep. So you can make it a drinking game. Like, take a shot every time he says six times.
No thanks. Didn't he say Samhain in the first one? I thought he might have mentioned it in that one, too.
Was it? No. Wait. Does the first one have the school scene?
I mean, she was in school in the first one.
No, it's like, because I think he gets away, and then they take Loomis to the school because somebody broke into an elementary school, and a knife planted on it, and written on the wall, he said, Sam Hain,
it would have been the second one, because that one was not in the first one.
The Druid, blah, blah, blah. Festival.
Gaelic Festival.
Yeah. Shit. I'm gonna fail.
It's a festival to mark the beginning of the dark part of the year. Mm. The darker half of the year, like the beginning of winter.
And now, as we do in Hispanic culture, we call it Coco Day.
We're not bringing that up.
You sure? We can't talk about Coco for like 5 seconds?
We already did. So Homeboy gets out and he crawls through the vents and he finds a way into the warehouse and tries to call his wife and like, hey, don't let the kids wear the masks. And she's like, you're fucking drunk. And he's like, no, I'm for real. And she's like, you're just jealous. I got them the masks. And she just hangs up on his ass.
Yeah. I mean, if you just call like that, I would think you're a nut too, you know.
He manages to free what's her face too.
What is her face? You have her name?
Yeah, Ellie Grimbridge. Played by Stacey Nelkin.
So I'm not gonna lie. This movie's still slow paced.
Yeah. And one of the things, like I saw people or in this IMDb article, they're asking, you know, why? Because he goes in there, frees Ellie. They go to try and stop the plot. Mm-hmm. And the scientist robots and everybody are still working on creating new chips, even though the broadcast is only like an hour away. Those chips aren't going to make it on any masks to kill any kids.
They mass produce more? I don't know. I mean, they were in the packaging already. But yeah, you're right. It just makes no sense. Dude does this epic ploy of he gets to play one thing on, like, he gets to play the song on there. Loudspeaker drops all the chips down and starts like a chain reaction of explosions.
Now he starts the commercial in the lab. The commercial starts going. He starts dropping chips and they go off and short circuit all the robots. It's kind of a sidetrack, but did you see when Chalice was trying to infiltrate the laboratory and everything? The bad guy Cochran, he had a DeLorean in there.
Did he?
Yep.
No, I didn't see that.
You get a little flash of the DMC.
Oh.
And the front part of the car.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you, bro. Like, by this point, I was already like, when is this movie gonna end?
Yeah.
I swear to God, I was like, come on, hurry up.
Yep.
Like, really, there was really no interest for me at this point.
So we just cut to the end?
Yeah. This epic plot twist where what's your face ends up being a robot.
Yeah, Ellie's a robot, and then she manages to try and kill him like 5 times. Fucking stupid.
It's like, hold on. So first they run into a tree, her arm breaks off, then she tries to kill him with the other arm. He like rocket socks her ass. Her head spins.
Head spins and he knocks it off her body. And it goes back in the car. And her arm that got trapped on the door all of a sudden comes to life and starts choking his ass. He gets out of the car. It's choking him. He's like, okay, I'm fine now. I'm fine now. And he throws it on the ground. And all of a sudden, her body comes back up. Okay, without a head. And now I'm going to choke you with this hand again.
So, like, literally, these, like, just 5 minutes worth of of choking.
Choking it's himself, like, going.
Yeah, it's, like, the most action in the practice of the whole movie that I got out of it, to be honest. Like, the most suspenseful part. Basically. So, like. Like, how many times is he going to kill her? How many times is, like, the double tap does not work on this hand? Not even. Man, it's just. But see, here's what I thought funny, because a lot of people ask this question too, is, was she a robot the whole time? Did they at any point actually make a robot of her, like, after they capture her? And if that's the case, what did happen to the original?
No, she wouldn't have been a robot the whole damn time.
Then what happened to the original?
They killed her.
Best
they killed her off camera. They took his car off camera.
I mean, Vincent, you're a party pooper, you know that? You pooped on the party.
Well, to put it this way, after they got out of the factory, all she did was stare forward like all the other fucking robots. There was at no time did any of those robots go up to the one lady that came from San Francisco or anybody else like, hey, let's have sex. So that's how you know she was real. Still dumb behavior, but at least she was real about it. The other robots didn't even fucking talk.
So the fact that she wasn't trying to give him a blowjob meant she was a robot.
Yeah, because she sat straight up and looked forward, and that was fucking it. Didn't even talk to the dude. And it took him like how many hundreds of miles before he's like, hey, you didn't say anything. And yeah. That's another kind of cool thing. It took, you know, we go from here, drive over to San Antonio, drive to Dallas, whatever. And, you know, you're driving and it's like, oh, man, when are we going to get there? And then it always seems like, or you go to Galveston, it always seems like the return trip is faster. Well, this one, it was literally faster. Because he's almost home. And it took them a full fucking day to get up there. And he's almost home before the damn
broadcast maybe it's like, goes off. Maybe it's like driving with my wife. Remember when we went to Resto Circus? It took us forever to get up there. And on the way back, it didn't take us that long. Well, no, wow. I mean, okay, hold on. No, it did take us a little long because I blame the navigator. I do blame the navigator. Damn GPS sucks ass.
Yeah, okay.
Why are we bringing this up? And then I'm like, wait, I'm the one who brought it up.
You're the one who brought it up.
But yeah, you're right, though. It's like, it takes a whole fucking day to get up there. And on the way back, they're there before. I wonder what time the sun sets over there, because if all this happened the same night,
yeah. It was fast. It was fast, but he makes it back to the gas station that was at the beginning of the movie.
Which was also in the fog.
And he calls, did they have the same, anyway, whatever. So he calls TV stations.
He just called the one.
He was on the phone with all the TV stations in the area all at once from Atlanta. I guess he made a party call and convinced them all to stop. Yeah. I don't know if it was back then, but I remember you could.
I remember three-way calling in the early 2000s.
Yeah, it's when you remember anything, though.
No. Like, I remember it was a thing. Because that's how we used to get a homeboy to meet a homegirl, or a homegirl to meet a homeboy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or, like, you would have your friend whose parents allowed the girl to talk to boys on the phone to call the other girl whose parents would not allow them to talk to boys on the phone. She'd be like scapegoat, and then she would like let the people talk.
Yeah. The Braves just beat the Dodgers.
No shit.
Yeah, so it's going to be Braves and the Astros.
That's why my phone's blowing up, because I was just letting the updates hit, like, for that game to pop up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, man.
So there's your little break time, whatever.
Oh, that's Joey's. Joey's at it, you know.
Okay, well, we were quiet, though. Shit. Anyway, so okay, back to the movie. Yes,
the
okay,
ending.
So, yeah, he manages to get all but one station to turn it off. And all he can do is yell, "Stop it!" in the phone, rather than, "Hey, you know what? Three little kids just rolled up into this gas station. Let me turn the TV off so that they don't fucking die.
So,
and produce snakes that will kill me and the gas station owner."
So, you know that there were multiple endings recorded for this film.
Nope.
Atkins didn't even realize which ending they were going to use until he saw the final cut in the theater. That's how it was done. They did multiple endings. They said that there's even one ending where all the kids, you can hear them screaming through the city and the town. As the movie ends, like, you would hear all the kids just dying.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until a convention that happened, like, for the 35th anniversary or whatever it was, they were talking about, oh, so what happened? Did he stop the you know, that third channel from showing the commercial? And he's all like, oh yeah, you know, Dr. what was his name again?
Chalice.
Like, yeah, he knew what was right and he did what was right. So he was able to accomplish what he was doing. But a lot of fans were like, that's not the answer we want.
Yeah, that's the bullshit, because the commercial was already going. It was halfway over. When they were in the fucking testing room, by that point, the kid was already grabbing his fucking head and dying on the floor and shit.
Yeah, it pretty much.
So
it
was, all he had to do was reach over there, turn the fucking TV off. It could have saved at least three kids. And now that I'm thinking about it, because I didn't think about it until just right now, they showed that commercial and did the drawing at 9 o'clock Pacific. 9 p.m. Pacific time, which would have been 10, 11, midnight across the country. So who the fuck is going to let their kids up on a Sunday to watch this shit?
Unless they had already played it beforehand, killed off those kids, so what was left was the California kids.
Oh, every time zone at 9 o'clock?
New Year's. I mean, yeah, they do that on New Year's.
Yeah, oh yeah, when it's midnight on every time zone. And so when you're in California and you're sitting there like, oh, look, the ball's coming down in New York City. So, yeah, it's New Year's over there. But you're telling me that a broadcast at 9 p.m. that started killing every fucking kid on the Eastern Seaboard, news wouldn't make it to the West Coast in those 3 hours.
Maybe because of the time. Maybe new. I'm just defending the writing here, okay?
Yeah, well, you shouldn't.
No, I mean, dude, you know what? I totally agree with that shit. And, like, I remember watching the end of that film and going, huh, I think I would have survived this incident. And my wife's like, why would you say that? I'm like, my mom was too cheap to buy me that mask. So, or yeah. Too broke to buy me that mask. And yeah. No in hell.
I mean, we might have had the masks, but I ain't going to be watching fucking TV at 9 o'clock on Halloween if it's on a Sunday. My mom wouldn't have let me stay up like that in 82.
Oh, that's actually the thing, too. They actually were actually doing the right time, like, for the year. Because through the whole movie, you actually see it when the 28th is. It tells you, like, Thursday 28th or whatever yeah. It was, you know. It actually goes with the times and the dates. And that's another thing. Like, this movie was actually telling you, like, an hour later. Like, I don't know. That's what, like, annoyed the hell out of me. Like, where I was all like, this thing is taking forever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, man. What's your take on it? Doing the whole slasher thing, and then I get it that you tried to do an anthology style like series for these movies, but the fact is you went one and two with the same serial killer in a yeah. back-to-back concept, and then you want to go with three. You think this movie probably would have worked better if it was not called Halloween 3?
Probably.
Okay, with that, would you would have still liked this movie if it was called Halloween 3?
Probably would have been the same.
The same?
Yeah, because it's not, you know... It's all right, but it's like...
What would you have named this one? If you could have named this anything.
His name is Samhain.
Samhain?
Yeah. I mean, that was the whole point of the damn movie. I mean, we didn't really mention how the whole fucking town of Santa Mira is Irish. Everybody's got their Irish accents and shit. It's a Gaelic Irish kind of celebration there that they're trying to do. So, yeah, just name it Samhain.
Yeah, that probably would have been. So, we're going to go ahead and jump to our ratings. I don't know between you and me who has a higher rating, so you want to flip a coin for it? You just want to go first.
I guess I'll go first. I mean, I don't know. They tried. I don't want to be too super harsh on them, but it's like it wasn't that great. I'll give it a... I give it a 4.5 out of 10.
4.5 out of 10?
Yeah.
Jesus. That's when I was going. I am going to give it the higher rating. So, for the slow paced, just slow paced, to be honest. Really merged the film. I'm actually going to give this film a decent passing. I feel like that one teacher that's just like, at least you tried. I'll give you a passing grade for at least trying to be original. You know. But then when I thought about it, I'm like, man, this movie does remind me too much of Invasion of the Body Snatchers now, like a lot.
Yeah.
But killing kids, I don't condone it. But I thought that that was a pretty broad direction to go in. They did try to keep a Halloween festivity style to it. So that's some points too, I guess. It's I guess kind of original. Now you see like really the thinking about like the whole James Bond villains and like, or like, did you watch Kingsman?
No.
It was kind of like the same concept where everybody would have the phones, and then once the phones go active, they would like start this whole chain reaction to kill people around the world. And if you bought the phone, you know, things like that. But they were just really aiming for like the Halloween theme style of it for this movie.
Yeah.
So I wanted to give it a 7, like a D minus as a passing grade. But like, I just literally sat here and talked about this film, and I'm like, man, I really did not enjoy this film whatsoever. Like, I felt this movie probably was underrated as a kid. I just remember watching the kid, and I'm like, they're killing my people. You know, like, fuck the adults. They can die. Not us kids. But they end up killing the kids in this one. Now, how many actual deaths were in this one? Let's try to tally down a kill count.
All right.
Not counting the robots.
Not counting the robots.
Or the one scene where all the doctors get killed.
So there was the Grim father. Bridge, the father in the beginning. And then
the lady.
The lady in the motel. The family of three. And the coroner that we didn't talk about. And then Ellie. If you count the villain, he died, but that's kind of the point.
And he went down with the squad. He went down with the scientists. Not really a horror death.
Yeah.
Actually, the best kill was that dude getting his head ripped off. They wouldn't even talk about the homeless guy.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that guy. I was like, talking about what? The coroner, the lady with the drill in her head.
Oh, shit, I forgot about her, too.
Yeah.
Ah, 8. 8 kills.
Thanks.
So actually, it does have a slasher kill count, kind of.
But at least, part. So that's 3... robot kill victims, though. Probably 4 with Ellie.
3 were killed by robots. Corridor. Old dude, they got his head like completely taken off.
Yeah.
I think that should have been the glorious scene in the movie.
Probably.
And then you have old girl got killed, but she's off camera. And then you have the 3 family members that got killed in the room. One died of a heart attack, one died of a snake bite, and the other one died. He got it the worst.
Yeah.
Then you have the woman with the laser to the mouth, and then you have the dude getting his eyes. So all in all, the kill count is not that bad for the time.
Yeah.
But it takes forever to happen.
Yep.
It's 1 hour and 30 minutes, and it feels like a 2.5 hour long movie. I feel like it's an extra hour more than it should be.
Yep.
You know what? 4.5, you're right. It has some cool effects. It's pretty gory for what it is, but you still cannot say that this movie should probably been, you know, remember how they had the Masters of Horror TV show? Like, it was a TV series where, like, they would take, like, John Carpenter, Wes Craven, and, like, all those directors, and they would film a 45-minute or an hour-long episode with no commercials. It was, like, 45 minutes. You know, I think it was, like hosted by Eli Roth or something, or Eli Roth had an episode on there, too. So I feel like it would have worked more on that level. like a Halloween special like that. And not not what we got. So yeah, any recommendation?
Yeah, I figure the thing I remember Dan O'Hurley for, or I remembered him, and I'm like, this dude. Go watch RoboCop. Dan O'Hurley, he is the boss of OCP.
Nah, live. RoboCop seemed more like a horror movie than this one did.
A little bit.
I mean, the way they killed Murphy in that one, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And then that one dude in the demonstration of Ed 209, that was uncalled for.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of blame the scientists who didn't think of loading his shit with blanks or even not giving him any ammunition.
It's a merc. Merc, goddamn. You need the ammunition. You know,
especially with the stories in the headlines right now.
So, yeah. I actually going to go with a Halloween theme movie. I'm going to go with the 2008-2009 Trick or Treat. It's a movie that I waited for it to come out on theaters, and to my disappointment, it did not go out in theaters. It went straight to DVD, but it is literally one of the best anthology films of our time, and it literally holds as what maybe Halloween 3 should have been.
Really?
Yeah, you haven't seen it? Yeah, it's pretty much on Halloween night. There's like a Sam, which is like the little guy, the little with the mask, that he holds a tradition of the Halloween like rules. Like, you don't break the pumpkin heads, you don't do anything like that. So in this town, there's a lot of things going on Halloween night. You get a story with werewolves. You get a story of what happened to a group of kids who were on a school bus and how they were murdered. It's literally like Tales from the Crypt or Creepshow, but done modernized, and all the stories just feel like fun. And the thing is, because of the town, all the stories connect. And it all leads you to this one little character, Sam. So, yeah, it's not a gore fest film. It's not. It does have some good gore in it, but it's not a gore fest film. It's just literally, it is so planned out well, and it's so well written.
Cool.
I actually have the graphic novel. Like, I can actually borrow the DVD, or I can let you borrow the graphic novel. They're both good.
Either way.
So, yeah. Trick or treat. Now, with that being said, trick or treat! Vincent, do you hear that shit?
Yeah, I thought I... What was that?
Trick or treat. Joey, is that you? Joey, where the fuck have you been?
It is. I'm here with the fears, you know. I'm a little late, but I'm ready to talk to Michael Myers.
Bro, what do you mean? Just did Halloween 3. No Michael Myers in Halloween 3.
Yeah, we went on about that.
Well, I was talking about Halloween Kills. That's Halloween 3 in the other storyline.
Fuck me sideways.
Yeah, I think he got you there.
Yeah, well, how many beers did you bring? Because we're going to need them for the rest of this, then.
Let's line them up and down.
Halloween Kills.